It's kind of confusing as it's not equal teams in each division. I'm not sure what the reasoning behind that is. But UBC, their toughest competition will definitely be in that division, Saskatchewan and Alberta and Victoria. So it looks like it maybe is almost a tiered system, as in those are the top teams. So I'll do our best to try and figure that out, and next week I'll be able to have an answer for you, hopefully.
And on the women's side, the Thunderbirds this past week playing their final preseason game, a home game against Western Washington last Saturday. Thunderbirds defeated 6 points, 68-62, heading into the opening of conference play tomorrow.
Yeah, and they have a lot of things going for them and a lot of hype, especially with two of their best players, are Harleen Sidhu and Chris Young, both in their final years. So they're going to do everything possible to try and end it on a high note with a national championship. And those are two very exciting players, and it's going to be fun to watch this year with that squad, bringing back a lot of returning starters.
We'll have the play-by-play coverage of the Friday night game tomorrow against Victoria, a tip-off for the women's game at 6 o'clock, followed by the men's matchup at 8 o'clock. Tune in right here on 101.9 FM or video streaming canadawest.tv as well. So for CJ Pentland, Lenny Tabakman, I'm Jason Wang. Stay tuned next year on CITR for the Student Special Hour.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen, with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking. I want to bite into that plum and let the juice spill down my chin. You know what I mean?
CITR Campus Radio. Can you feel it?
I can feel it down in my plums. They're getting a nice bluish hue. Getting ready to take them to the farmer's market. A special two plums for one.
You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This is the Student Special Hour. I'm your host for the next hour. My name's Nellie, and I'm the Promotions Director on the Student Exec. I'm joined in the studio today by some pals from the UBC Film Society. How's it going, guys?
Good. Good to be here.
All right. So we're going to chat about the super cool, awesome event that we are co-hosting together tomorrow at the Norm. We're going to be playing School of Rock, and we also have three local bands playing during that. We're also going to chat about just film sock in general and what your club is all about. But to get things started, let's introduce yourself and your position and what you do.
I'll start? Sure. Yeah. I'm Michael Johnston, and I am the operations manager for the UBC Film Society. I'm in charge of all of the tech-related stuff, really, specifically the projection equipment. I train all of the new projectionists. I'm one of many projectionists who work at the theater each week. And that's my main job in film sock, I guess.
Sweet. Hi, I'm James. I'm the chairperson of the UBC Film Society. I'm effectively the leader of the organization. I am the representative to other organizations. That's about it, you know. Glad to be here.
I'm Joey. I'm the theater manager at the Norm. I just make sure everything's kind of running smoothly there with stock and stuff for the most part.
I'm Quincy. I'm, I guess, a member at large and time one sage of Film Society. And yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah. I'm happy to have you guys here. So I think we're going to play some relevant tunes, some stuff from movies playing at the theater in the next coming weeks. You guys are playing some, I don't know, like you're, the lineup of movies has changed this year, I feel like. Mm-hmm. You've been playing some older classics and some cool movies and not just, like, second-run stuff. So do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, sure. We sat down as a club and we reevaluated what we wanted to show at the theater, and we kind of took a step away from second-run movies. We still show one or two every now and again, but we've kind of gone to a more classic programming. For now. So for example, over the last month or so, we've shown some Wes Anderson films, we've shown Mulholland Drive. We're kind of doing a little bit of a David Lynch retrospective over the first semester, and then we'll be throwing some Kubrick in there at the end of the month as well. Well, still, we'll have some second-run movies in there, mm-hmm. Such as the Lego Movie, but we're kind of broadening the scope, I think, of our programming more than we have in the past.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a good while we were focused on trying to, I don't know, make money for the club through the cinema, and recently we've decided to show films that we think that people on a university campus should be seeing, as mm-hmm. opposed to mm-hmm. films that, I don't know, will be bringing us in cash. And though we still would like to make money, mm-hmm. we're, yeah, focusing on a different mandate, I guess.
And the movies we thought would make us money yeah. weren't really making us money anyway, yeah. right. So we said, why bother?
So yeah, it wasn't we, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I mean, you know, most people tend to like Tom Cruise, but Edge of Tomorrow, I mean...
yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow I thought was great, actually.
Really?
I really liked Edge of Tomorrow, but clearly most of UBC did not, because no one showed up for that movie.
Yeah. So. Is that the one with Emily Blunt?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
it
I
was
see
like,
it.
I thought it was marketed really badly, but I thought it was surprisingly good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like if they played up the whole, like, it's Groundhog's Day, but in a war scenario, then it could have done a bit better.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Yeah, that's how I've been trying to market it to people.
All right. Tonight is the last night that you're, or is it? No, you're playing Only Lovers Left Alive until Sunday,
except
for tomorrow night.
Yes.
I just saw it last night for the second time. It's a really cool movie, and I think I'm going to play a track from that next. The opening track of the film is Funnel of Love by Wanda Jackson. So we're going to play that and a few other tunes, and we'll be back shortly.
Of love. It's such a crazy, crazy feeling. I get weak in the knees. My poor old head is a reeling as I go deep into the funnel of love. I tried and I tried to run and hide. I even tried to run away. You just can't run from the funnel of love. It's bound to get you someday.
my poor old head is a-reeling as I go deep into the funnel of love. I tried and I tried to run and hide. I even tried to run away. You just can't run from the funnel of love. It's bound to get you someday.
Softer than satin was the light from the stars. She wore blue velvet, bluer than velvet were her eyes, warmer than May her tender sighs. Love was all. Always be precious and warm a memory through the years, and I still can see blue velvet through my tears. She they'll always be precious and warm a memory through the years, and I still can see blue velvet through my tears. I wanna have a good day.
All right, welcome back to the Student Special Hour. You just heard a track by David Lynch called Good Day Today. Hope that pumped you guys up. I know, I think we're pumped up right now, right, guys?
Yeah. Oh, I'm ready to have a good day today.
Yeah. yeah, we're like in the middle of the day. We still have a lot of time to turn it around. Yeah, so I am here in the studio with Mike, James, Joey, and Quincy from the UBC Film Society. We are talking about our event collaboration tomorrow, the Beer Garden, as well as other film sock goings on. Before that David Lynch track, you heard Blue Velvet by Bobby Vinton. And then at the top of the set, you heard Funnel of Love by Wanda Jackson. And we played that David Lynch song as well as Blue Velvet because the Norm will have Blue Velvet playing next week, correct?
No, it's actually going to be 2 weeks.
What's next week?
Next week is the Lego movie.
Ah.
No.
No, I thought it was like...
That's incorrect. Blue Velvet is next week.
See, well, I know live, more about your schedule.
Next week from Wednesday to Sunday, yeah, at 7 and 9.30.
7 and 9.30, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Lots of opportunities to see Blue Velvet.
Absolutely.
And everyone should see it because it's a great
fantastic film.
It's my personal favorite David Lynch film. It's really good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the Beer Garden. This is the second Beer Garden of the year. Yes.
Yes. Second Beer Garden of the year. First time we're playing School of Rock. But I think it's one we've kind of had brewing in the back of our minds for a while, I feel. And I feel like the time is now.
Ready to rock.
For this one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the idea with the Beer Gardens, I think, is to play movies often that people can kind of connect with in some way, nostalgic films often, mm-hmm. kind of fun, cheesy movies, generally. And I definitely think of School of Rock as being a movie that was on TV all the time. It was on mm-hmm. Much Music all the time when I was a kid growing up, mm-hmm. and I used to watch it a lot. And I definitely have a lot of fond memories of it, absolutely. And I feel like other UBC students, too, mm-hmm. Do as well.
Absolutely. So. I still remember the first time I saw it in theaters. I feel like it may have been one of the first, like, big, live-action films I saw. Then again, I don't really know. But I feel like it's just one of those films that a lot of students can relate to and a lot of students have a fond place in their heart for. So I think it's the perfect mm-hmm. beer garden movie in that sense.
I think it was the first PG-13 movie I saw in theaters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I think, yeah, it's very relevant to our age group, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think we were the same age as they were when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's one of my all-time favorite movies, actually.
Yeah. Well, we play a lot of, usually for our beer garden films, we play a lot of movies from the 90s. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that we've kind of, like, this was, like, what, 2002, 2003,
yeah.
maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's cool we've kind of come into the next decade as well
mm-hmm.
with that.
Century.
Millennium. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say what you're going to say.
I was going to say, I think that School of Rock really speaks to, like, the ethos of the 2000s really uh-huh. well. It speaks to my generation's place.
Exactly. yeah. Also, this beer garden is unique in the fact that three live bands are going to play, too. Which is a CITR part of that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to try and play a track by one of those bands later on in the show. But right now, we were thinking of playing Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks, right?
Yes.
Key song Classic. Of the School of Rock soundtrack. Yes. Here we go. Edge of 17.
Days go by like a strand in the wind, in the web that is mine. heal me. I'm heart sick, I'm hungry and I'm broken. I'm haunted and weeping, the blood of heaven flowing like a river tonight. Tears I can fight on my own. I'm a haunted.
Come down to the Hindenburg for CITR's Battle of the Bands Shindig. Three bands play every Tuesday night. Come for cheap beer, free pool, a great stage, and one of Vancouver's best local music showcases. Tickets are $6 at the Hindenburg, 23 West Cordova, every Tuesday until December 16th, with semifinals resuming in the new year. Shindig congratulates Revered for passing into the semifinals. This November 11th, come to the Hindenburg for the bright pop rock of Speller, the dark surf pop of Malk, and make sure you bring earplugs for Double Standards Hardcore.
CITR and UBC Film Society come together again this November 7th to bring you a screening of School of Rock at the Norm Theatre. Featuring live music from the Chris Goodchild Band, The Scuffs, and ATSI.
I pledge allegiance to the band.
School of Rock, live music, cheap beverages.
Read between the lines, Theo. Read between the
lines!
The screening and show will take place this Friday, November 7th. Doors at 7, first band at 7:30. Screening at 8 p.m. The event will be $5 for CITR and FilmSoc members and $10 for non-members.
Let's rock. Let's rock today.
All right. Welcome back. You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Student Special Hour, and I'm here with some special students from the UBC Film Society.
That makes me feel good.
We just played two tracks from School of Rock, No Vacancy, which is like the band in that movie, and then we played Stevie Nicks with The Edge of 17. Always a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have about like 20 minutes left of the show. we were thinking of chatting more about Only Lovers Left Alive, because mm-hmm. we've all just recently seen this, and The Norm is playing it right now, and you should all see it. You can see it tonight, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's playing at 7 and 9:30 every night, except for Friday, which we have the School of Rock Beer Garden.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thoughts?
What's on the film?
I want to say, what a cool movie. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that if a movie can effectively just evoke a certain feeling or mood, then it succeeded in some way. And I think that Only Lovers Left Alive definitely does that by just being really, really cool and having really cool music. And I don't think it's a great movie in some ways. I mean, it's a movie I love, but I think that just as far as pushing like a certain aesthetic vibe and kind of like holding that together through the movie, even where it may fail in other elements, according to some people, I think it does that really well.
By all means, yeah, it's got a beautiful tone. It sets a fantastic mood, especially in terms of the vampire genre. Mm. But as far as Jarmusch's other films go, he does that pretty much every time. He sets a cool mood. It's incredibly realistic mood, but his other films feel they have a kind of tinge of absurdity to them, which this film was lacking. I thought, even though it was a vampire film, it felt a tad plain. And another thing about the film, I enjoyed the film, I had a fun time watching it, but another thing I wasn't too into, I guess, was the tantamount references to historical figures. I felt as though I could have gone in with a bingo card full of famous artistic names from the past 200 years and ticked them off pretty swiftly.
Like, are there any in particular that you can name, like, right off the bat?
Christopher Marlowe, William Shakespeare, Nikola Tesla, Isaac Newton.
There's a funny part where they get on a plane with passports that say Daisy Buchanan and Stephen Dedalus.
Yeah.
But I think that, like I said, that's a funny part, and I think it actually is meant to be funny. I think there's an element of humor in the name dropping, where you said before the film plays it a little bit straight compared to some of the director's other movies, and I think that's true in some ways, but I also feel like there is an element of humor through it, and I also feel like there's an element of taking the vampire genre that this movie only came out a few years after Twilight, and it's by kind of an art house director, which is kind of funny that he decided to do this mm-hmm. kind of trendy kind of fad thing mm-hmm. but also make it his own, but be aware that there are these kind of funny things, and I think there are kind of little sly references to Twilight through it.
Oh yeah.
But I think that I think there's this scene where they move their arms really quickly, or like grab the flask quickly, and in Twilight they do the same thing with really kind of bad special effects, where it's like there's like a little like kind of sound and their arms are flying around, and they do the same, like the exact same thing here with the vampires in this movie, which I think is meant to be kind of funny.
Okay.
Is like, are vampires like, is that just a Twilight thing that they made up that vampires were super fast, or is that just like a general vampire characteristic?
It seems as though in this film, it was only a characteristic that Adam had, that Tom Hiddleston's character had.
Hmm.
Like, Tilda Swinton's character, Eve, her superpower, I guess, was being able to touch things and tell how old they were.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Where they came from, too, kind of?
Yeah.
Like their history.
Yeah. And so I feel as though that kind of quickness was only for Adam to have. Also, the names I couldn't really get behind. Adam and Eve, it felt pretty
forced,
clunky. Yeah,
but is it clunky or is it kind of funny though? Is it meant to be clunky?
It's probably meant to be funny and self-reflexive, but it took me out of the film every time I had Adam and Eve next to each other. Okay, I see.
Yeah. That's kind of like, I feel like you're bludgeoning somebody over the head with a hammer at that point. You're not. That's not really humor. That's more of just like forcing information down somebody's throat.
But at the same time, maybe he's parodying stuff like Twilight, which feels very, very clunky.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no, I enjoyed the film. I'm not trying to give a diatribe on it, but I thought it was a very cool film. Yeah, as you said. And I don't know, come see it and make up your own mind.
Yeah.
And I guess we didn't ever really talk about what the film actually was. We just kind of assumed people realized.
In case you didn't know, it's about vampires.
Yeah, it's a vampire romance. It's got Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton. And that's by one of my personal favorite directors, and I would recommend everyone see it and come to your own opinion about it, if you like it or don't, or find it too clunky or whatever, because, there are different feelings about it in this room.
Yeah. But
you know, no reason not to see it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, worst case, you get to watch a really beautiful, cool-looking film. Did I say worst case? Because I meant best case. I meant best case. And or worst case, you don't really like the other aspects of it. But I think, it like, yeah, bottom line, it's aesthetically very pleasing.
Very beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got about 15 more minutes of the show. We have to play some Canadian content because that's what this radio station is all about. So one of the bands playing the Beer Garden tomorrow night, called At Sea, I'm going to play a track by them. This is just like a rough demo, so you got to come tomorrow night to really see how well they play. Yeah, so I'm going to play At Sea, and I'm going to play a few other local bands that kind of relate to our theme of movies and music today. So, yeah, this is a track called Never That.
I'm not afraid to Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Shine On is an eclectic mix of the latest, greatest tunes from the Vancouver Underground and beyond, connected through a different theme each week. Join me, your host Shay, every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. for a groovy musical experience.
All right, welcome back to the Student Special Hour. You just heard a track by the Courtneys, they're a local band, and that was their song Casey Reeves. I thought that was pretty relevant because it's about Keanu and they're obsessed with him. And before that, you heard a local band called Movieland, who are actually no longer a band, but they are now under like kind of a different lineup, and they're called Supermoon, so check them out. And that was a song called A Blast. And then you heard At Sea with the song, I don't remember what that song is called. Do you guys? No.
No.
But
it was good, though.
It was really good. We were impressed. They're playing tomorrow night at the CITR and FilmSoc School of Rock Beverage Garden. So don't miss them. Along with Atsy, Chris Goodchild and the Scuffs will also be playing. So let's chat a little bit more about FilmSoc. If someone is interested in like becoming a member, like how would they go about doing that, and why should they volunteer for FilmSoc, and why are you guys relevant?
Well, if you would want to become a member of the Film Society, best way to do that would be to come to our club room, which is room 130 in the sub. It's close to the gallery, or the theater, the Norm Theater, which we operate, and you could just buy a membership there. It costs $10 for students, $15 if you're not a student. And yeah, you can just do that, and then you'll be a pretty cool person. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And also, you could volunteer at the theater if you want, which is also pretty chill. It's how I got involved with the Film Society, got to my position nowadays. Basically, volunteering is you come to the theater one night when we're showing a film. You would basically just sort of work at the theater. You could like make popcorn, you know, sell tickets, stuff like that. You get to see the film for free. You get to eat as much popcorn as you want, and trust me, I've been to like every theater in Metro Vancouver. We have the best popcorn by far, and yeah, it's also, I would argue, really important, you know, for us to just keep maintaining this theater here, because you know, we're showing the films that not just like we want to see. I mean, we do want to see these films, but we feel like that the student body would want to see these films as well, and it's important, I think, for a university to sort of have that, you know, that, how do I put it, intellectual film viewing kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. In an age when everything's becoming so saturated and so kind of truncated on iPads and iPhones, mm-hmm. and whatnot, I think it's valuable to have something like a big scale movie theater that mm-hmm. people can gather around in a community setting and watch a film and engage in art together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really feel like seeing a film in a theater is a very different experience than watching it on our laptops, and I mm-hmm. feel like that's something that our generation is missing out on for a large part, because not just the Norm, but movie theaters all over aren't doing as well
Absolutely.
As they once did or as they should be doing, because that's really how these films were designed to be made, to be sat down in a dark room with a giant screen and watched in one sitting.
It's the
and,
same,
you know, not checking Facebook every 5 minutes
it's
on your
laptop.
It's
the same distinction as going to see a band live compared to mm-hmm. listening to a band on your iPod.
Absolutely.
It's definitely a very communal experience. It's one that you can experience with others, and you'll connect with other people as well. And I mean, who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah, and experience it with us. FilmSoc is yeah. a great group of people, and we would love some more volunteers. So if you're mm-hmm. all interested, please, by all means, come on out.
Mm-hmm. And on top of regular volunteers, we're also looking for projectionists and people interested in that side of things. to get more involved in the technical side of showing the film, something I've been doing for 3 years now, and Quincy the same. It's less film now, so it's a little bit more digitized and less work, but it's also an alternate side to the theater business, which I think is a really interesting take on everything. So we're always looking for people who are interested in helping out with that as well.
And I think we're also still dedicated to keeping the act of projecting actual 35mm film alive.
Absolutely.
A store of Bollywood film.
Yeah, we have a huge collection of Bollywood films, which we're kind of just sitting on right now in hopes of finding the right scenario to play them and whatnot. But of course, we still have the 35mm projectors. And if an opportunity arises to show film, we'll obviously jump on it.
Yeah, like just, I guess, like 5 minutes ago while the songs were playing, we were talking about maybe showing Interstellar, which is Christopher Nolan's new film, on 35mm.
By far, like, my most anticipated film of the year. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we might try and get that happening in film, which would be really fun.
Which would be fantastic.
Awesome. What else is coming up next on the Film Sock Horizon?
Well, let's see. A week after the School of Rock Beverage Beer Garden... we're going to be having a documentary screening of a film called Meditation, Creativity, and Peace. In case you don't know what that is, it is a documentary about David Lynch and his lifelong fascination with transcendental meditation. We're going to be having a Q&A with some of the people involved with the film as well after that. And we'll be screening Blue Velvet 2 after that, which is one of David Lynch's best films. And then a week after that, we're going to be having our annual extremely famous event, the Big Lebowski Beer Garden. It always sells out every year, so make sure you get your pre-sale tickets while you still have a chance.
I believe it's the 11th annual, actually.
I believe it's our second annual, 10th annual.
Yes, the second annual, 10th annual Big Lebowski Beer Garden. That sounds right.
Yeah. All right. Don't miss that. And come out tomorrow night to The Norm to see School of Rock. Buy your pre-sale tickets. You can get those in the Film Sock Club room
130.
By the gallery, first floor of the sub. That just about does it for the show. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
I think we're gonna close out with yet another classic rock song from the School of Rock soundtrack. So here we go with Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song.